trucking on. And I'm trucking on. Move her on down the line, another town will do me fine. I'm trucking on. I'm trucking on.
Howdy, friends, and welcome to Trucking On. I'm your host, Ward Richmond. I really appreciate you tuning in today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Truckin' On. Today is a special holiday episode, and I would like to speak about the addict energy field. This is a concept that I heard about earlier this year from my spiritual teacher, Carissa Schumacher. She said, Ward, you need to get out of the addict energy field. It's like, no shit, Carissa. And, you know, you might think that means drugs and alcohol, the obvious things that people get addicted to, food, sex, money, power. Those are all things that most people, many people struggle with. What else? Stress. You can be addicted to stress or complaining or worrying. You can be addicted to taking pharmaceutical drugs to make you not worry and not stress. In a little bit of a, what I'll call a band-aid that in my opinion and from what I've seen is not sustainable, and from what I've experienced, it's not sustainable to take such drugs for prolonged periods of time without dealing with your emotional trauma, which has caused your psychological disorder in the first place. And I'm a big believer in that, that at the end of the day, there's emotional traumas buried deep within all of us. It could be from our lives, or it could be something we inherited from our ancestors, but we've got it and it needs to be dealt with if you wish to truly transcend it and not just put a band-aid on it. And it's my hope that I'm able to do that personally, because I believe that is the pathway to peace and living a peaceful life, which is my new goal in life. And trying to achieve said goal in a different manner than I've achieved past goals. And most of my past goals, which I've reached the majority of the things that I've set out to accomplish in this life, have been accomplished by operating in the addict energy field. That could be becoming a football player. That could be becoming popular, playing in a band, building my commercial real estate business, doing 3 Ironman triathlons, and when I got into endurance sports. So sports, really. Sports, business, art, like a social life. I operated in extreme manners to achieve levels of success that were meaningful to me in all of those arenas. And it was not easy. It was hard. It was a lot of very hard work. And I pat myself on the back for my hard work. However, I'm a much wiser man now than I was when I was in high school. And that's when I first really remember starting down this path of doing and achieving things in a certain manner, which I seem to do in the same way for most all of these different things in my life. And I believe the path forward has potential for much higher levels of success and much greater ease of the process to manifest said success as I dig more into my spirituality practice and better understand this addict energy field, which we are all living in. If you don't think you're living in it, please contact me. Tell me your secret. It is my belief that this is a force, a low vibing energy force that took over the planet many years ago, and it's very prevalent today. And I think it's really the root of all problems I think part of our culture actually there divides a line in the addict energy field and says one type of addiction is better than another type of addiction. If you're addicted to making money, then that's good because it's a good thing to make a lot of money in our culture. And I'm not dissing people who make a lot of money. Don't worry. I think money is important. But it's how you get there. And really at the end of the day, do you live a balanced life? But point being, if someone's addicted to drugs and alcohol or low, like obvious destructive things like those things, addicted to food, addicted to sex, I don't know. So I think people actually could get patted on the back for sex at some stages of life. So that may not be a good example, but all of these obvious things that are bad for you, they're easy to say, oh, you're an addict, you must seek help. But then there are all of these other things. Someone that worries all the time might consider that to be a good thing because it protects them in their mind from bad things. Somebody that earns money and obsesses over that, that could be viewed as a good thing because money provides options, can take care of you. I just watched a documentary on Alex Lowe, the mountain climber. He's clearly addicted to climbing mountains, dangerous mountains. And he could not stop climbing mountains until he finally died doing so when an avalanche took him out. And the documentary was shot by one of his three sons, and all of his sons appeared to be severely traumatized while watching that documentary. Not so much, it seems, that he died, but it was because he was never there. And I think they had a lot of resentment for him choosing mountain climbing over them. It was apparent watching the documentary that he was definitely feeling conflicting points of view. At one point in time when he was in Antarctica climbing a mountain during Christmas, and you could tell he was pretty sad that he wasn't with his family. But you know what? He was addicted to climbing mountains. He put a very high priority on that. And that's what he was doing. And he became famous for it, known for it, paid to do so. So is that a good thing? When watching it, it made me feel, it felt very similar vibes to how I was when I used to drink excessively. I loved to drink. I viewed it as my superpower. It arguably led to many great things in my life, adventures, friendships, and heightened levels of popularity, all kinds of things, and just pure joy. I loved drinking a lot. I loved going to bars. I loved the smell. I loved floating down the river, drinking Coors Light. I loved touring with my band and playing in honky-tonks every night. I just loved it. The after parties, oh yeah. And I viewed myself as someone who was living a legendary life who had hacked the system. I loved drinking every day in college and not going to class and still making B's for the most part. At an Ivy League school, no less. Like the rest of these people here are supposedly smart, but they haven't figured this out yet. Seems so insane now, but at the time, I truly believed that it was the way to live, just like Alex Lowe did the mountain climbing. And I was patted on the back for it too. My band, we wrote songs about getting drunk. And that's what we did. We got wasted and we played shows and everybody partied, and that was the deal. Doing an Ironman triathlon was no different. I did two in 1 year for 1 year that I quit drinking back in the day. And I had so much of that addict energy in me, I had to redirect it. It came very naturally to me to redirect it. And just so you know how much I like to drink alcohol, that's what I redirected it towards, is doing Ironman triathlons. which seemed absolutely absurd to most of those who were close to me at that stage of my life. Like, what are you doing, bro? Just totally flipping the switch in the opposite direction. And but I was still in the addict energy field, and it could be perceived as healthier to be doing an Ironman triathlon versus partying all the time. Undoubtedly, for my liver, it was. But doing that did not make me feel at peace. It made me feel like I was constantly striving for what I was doing. It was constantly striving for endorphins that would temporarily make me feel okay. But I was really, all of those things, what I was doing was running away from deep-seated trauma that I had never dealt with and that, frankly, I didn't even know existed. I didn't know that I had a problem. I was just living instinctually and doing things that allowed me enough moments of peace to cope. I think a lot of us do that. And you can find all different ways of doing that. I mentioned a lot of them already. Obviously, television, social media. Then I went to a treatment center for alcohol. And right when I got out, I really poured myself into my business. No different. I went balls to the wall. It's what I do. It's how I've always accomplished things. Started making countless cold calls. I was on an airplane every week, attending every conference I could possibly get into, getting speaking engagements at these conferences, and writing articles, posting on social media, meeting with 300 decision makers a year. I was meeting with so many people that I got to the point where I would get like dizzy after conversations because I would have like 5 back-to-back meetings. And by the time I'm in the middle of them, like 3 or 4 meetings in, I would have to like go to the bathroom and take deep breaths. It did not feel good. I was pushing myself so hard. And I mean, it was just using a massive amount of willpower to get through it. Now, did that ultimately lead to success in my business? Yes, it did. But I view that method of obtaining success as the kindergartner method at this stage of my life. So anyone can do that if you have the willpower and the toughness and the tenacity to go do it that way, to work your ass off, just methodically doing things in that manner of just basically volume of meetings and volume of speaking engagements, getting yourself out there like that. I think there's a better way of doing things, a more balanced way of doing things, which I'm attempting to incorporate into my life now. I haven't figured it out, but I do know that I seek balance. And I believe that a balanced life is the answer to transcending the addict energy field. I watched the Jason Kelsey documentary. He seems like such a cool guy, despite the fact he is a Philadelphia Eagle. He's the center for the Eagles. And the documentary follows him around for a year. And he's an absolute legend in the NFL. I would say guaranteed Hall of Famer. He's conquered it. He's 35 years old. He's won a Super Bowl. He and his brother, Travis Kelsey, the boyfriend of Taylor Swift, by the way, they were talking about it because they're both Super Bowl victors, and just talking about how winning the Super Bowl, once you do that, once they did that, they just wanted to win another Super Bowl. And they weren't really fulfilled with winning anything else at that point. They wanted another Super Bowl. So Jason Kelsey is shown hobbling around his backyard, appears to be living in extreme levels of pain. His wife is very concerned and seemed like she's begging him to not play, basically, another season. He has no need to play another season. He's achieved everything you can possibly achieve. including financial abundance for his family for generations, I believe he said, which I don't doubt. He played in the NFL for like 15 years, or he did at that point. Now he's still going, I believe. And nevertheless, this guy wants to win another Super Bowl. So is it healthy to be addicted to winning Super Bowls? I would say no. And healthy or not healthy, I really don't care. All I care about is the world becoming a peaceful place. And I don't think the world can become a peaceful place as long as people view success as spikes of endorphins that can come from all different kinds of things that I've already mentioned. But that could be winning a Super Bowl, making $1 million, making $1 billion, completing an Ironman triathlon, winning that award at work, getting that promotion, winning a Grammy Award, all of these things. There are all these finish lines that we make up in our egoic mind that seem of vast importance. And I'm sure everyone's been there. If only I can marry the girl, everything will be okay. If only we have kids, everything will be okay. If I win one more Super Bowl, then I'll feel better. Having accomplished most of the goals I've set out to accomplish, which are not quite as impressive as winning a Super Bowl, but I've still said, I want to do this, and then I've gone and done it. And that was meaningful for me to accomplish. However, every time I accomplish those things, the moment of that sense of accomplishment quickly evaporates, and then I move on to another fake finish line that I think will bring me joy and success. So I don't want to continue on that way. And I think I mentioned it on an earlier episode. I was doing an exercise regarding bucket lists, and I truly feel like I don't have any more bucket list items in my life. I think that's in large part due to this spirituality practice that I've delved deeply into. And I guess my bucket list is to find balance in life. That's it. So I made a life pie, if you will, and it consists of 5 pieces: God, self, family, community, and work. I determined that these 5 things are the 5 most important things in my life. You hear about work-life balance. I hear about it a lot. You should have work-life balance. Well, I don't believe in that shit. I believe in a balanced life. And I don't view work as separate from my life. Work is a part of my life. And all those 5 things are. So my goal is to treat each of them with equal levels of importance for the most part. Of course, at times I will lean heavier on other areas of my life pie than others, but I want to be mindful about all 5 of them so that I don't sacrifice one because I'm tripling down on the other for too long of a period of time. This past summer, I found that yes, it's possible to be in the addict energy field with the God category. And that's because I had a spiritual awakening this summer. Maybe I'll get into the details of that on a future episode, but I can tell you this, it brought me much closer to God. I felt like I already had faith in God, but it went to the next level this summer. And I immediately started really doubling down on my spirituality practice, doing what I always do, operating in absolute extreme. And I read like 25 books over the course of 2 months, all on spirituality, so all kinds of books. The Freedom Transmissions is my go-to by Carissa Schumacher, who I mentioned earlier. It's my good friend. And that book is fantastic. And it's basically Jesus, aka Yeshua's, perspective on life today. So I highly recommend it to anyone, whether you are a Christian or not. It's just straight knowledge that I think is life-changing. I read the actual Bible. I read the Tao Te Ching still. I read a verse every day, but I read it probably 3 times last summer. I read all kinds of books on Taoism and Buddhism, including Siddhartha, which is another great book on the life of Buddha. I loved that. Listened to countless podcasts on spirituality. I meditated for 3 hours a day. I incorporated all these things the monks talked about in my books on Taoism into my life, like practicing celibacy, meditating for 3 hours a day, not eating red meat or pork, not drinking caffeine. It was crazy. My friends all thought I had lost my fucking mind. And then eventually one of my spiritual teachers was like, "You're doing this quite the extreme, aren't you?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I'm back in the addict energy field." And I was, because I was sacrificing those other things. I was sacrificing my involvement in my community, sacrificing my work to a degree, to a large degree, actually. I was just so obsessed with my spirituality practice, with God, and getting closer to God. But then I also realized that there's no need to get closer to God, because that means that you feel separation from God. And once you realize that we all have God within us, that helped me to relax a lot more. Because you can't really, you don't need to freak out too much when God's got a little piece of the game in your operating system. And that's what I believe today, most of the time. If I have a bad night's sleep, I'll go back to feeling some great separation from God at times, and that will create fear and anxiety, but I'm pretty good at zapping out of that now. So, point being, to transcend the addict energy field, I believe it's our duty as a planet to really focus on living a balanced life. I'm not telling you to go be a monk. I already tried that. It's not sustainable unless you want to be a monk, I guess. But I don't want to be a monk. I want to contribute to this world. But I want to live in a peaceful manner. I don't want to live in the addict energy field any longer. I'm tired of it. I've been addicted to everything, it seems. And it's unsatiating. It's getting everything you want, but never being satisfied. That's what it feels like to live in the addict energy field. What I want to do is recognize that I'm getting everything that I need and be happy with that and be content with that. And I think there are 4 pillars to helping me to realize this in my life, besides my 5-piece life pie. There's 4 things that I think about now, and I got this from the Freedom Transmissions. And these 4 things are simplicity, stability, surrender, and stillness. And whenever I'm feeling like I'm falling into that addict energy field, or I'm feeling the stress, anxiety, or depression, I think about those 4 things and I say, am I making decisions that allow simplicity into my life? Because life doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be overcomplicated. I think the best songs are simple. I think the best processes that I've come up with in my business are very simple. The best teachings from people like Tony Robbins are very simple. So I want to embrace simplicity. Stability. Do the decisions I make help me to embody stability in my life? Ask yourself that. Surrender. That word I think probably it immediately like strikes me as like a weakness or something. Surrender. What does that mean? I didn't even know what it meant until like this year, probably. I'm assuming that I do know what it means, but I think what it means to me is my mind. I don't know about yours, but I pretty much do because I've read lots of books about it. All of our minds are the same. And our minds like to make up worst case scenarios about things. And it's just part of our evolutionary cycle of getting us here. And our mind is like a computer built to protect us. So it thinks through what's the worst thing that can happen so that we can avoid it. My dad is like my extra mind. He always likes to say, Ward, if you start a podcast, you're going to ruin your fucking life. No, he doesn't say that, but he's always looking out for me by warning me the horrible things that can happen regarding decisions that I'm considering making, even if they seem to be great decisions. And that's what he does, because he worries a lot. That's one of his things. He worries about his children losing everything. And, you know, I think it's because he grew up worried about losing everything, right? Love you, Dad. But surrendering is taking that worst possible outcome that your mind comes up with and surrendering to it, saying, if that happens, will I survive? Yes, everything will be okay. And then the last thing is stillness. And that's just to find time for stillness each and every day. I make a point to meditate, not for 3 hours anymore, but for a minimum of 30 minutes each day. That's the deal I made with myself, and I've been holding true to it. And those moments of stillness have really helped me, and I know they will help you to transcend the addict energy field. And that is my goal, my bucket list item for 2024. And I would love for you to join me on this journey so that we can collectively transcend this shit and take this planet to the next level, to a positive, high-vibing energy field where we're all living in a state of peace and calm. Thanks for listening today. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thanks for trucking on. And I'll see you in 2024, my friends. Peace. Thanks everybody for tuning in to this episode of Truckin' On. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, don't be shy. Please like, share, leave a 5-star review so that we can keep doing what we're doing. Stay safe out there on the road. Keep on trucking.
So much shame when I share my little lies. No one left to blame until I stare into these eyes. I'm gonna tell the truth to you till I break on through to the other side. Living like I'm gonna die is the only time I feel alive. Living like I'm gonna die is the only time I feel alive. And I'm trucking on. I'm trucking on.